The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Program. I'm Dwight Falk, filling in for Stephen Fleury today, and glad to be with you. Hopefully you're having a great day, and this is one of the best parts of the day. The Trumpet Daily Program, always an enjoyable part of the day, certainly to listen to, and then also it's a nice opportunity to occasionally fill in. I appreciate being able to do that. The Trumpet Daily airs live weekdays at 11 a.m. Central Time, so you can always find it at that time, and you can watch the live video stream at thetrumpet.com/live. The show is available on your favorite podcast apps as well. The show is posted later. And also, you can listen to us on some of our other platforms, including CTNCRN3 Digital Radio. That's 11 a.m. Central Time on CRN3 Digital Radio nationwide, so you can make sure to listen there if you'd like to, and, of course, here at thetrumpet.com. Well, there's a major news story that's happening. This has been ongoing for quite some time, and that is the crisis at the southern border. The U.S. southern border is being inundated with people coming across, and this has, of course, been going on for years, but it's a bigger issue now than it has been in quite some time. The numbers really are quite staggering. Fox News report had this from September 29th. They talked about how many people are coming across the border. And there are 2.1 million migrant encounters, they say. That's how many encounters there have been this fiscal year alone. 2.1 million encounters. That's historic, it says. This historic border crisis continues to ravage the southern border, prompting Republican governors to bus and fly migrants deeper into the interior to sanctuary jurisdictions. And so that was in the news, too, and it has been, where they are moving some of these illegals to other parts of the country and making it more of an issue right on the doorstep of some of those liberal politicians. You know, it's one thing to talk about giving sanctuary to people and be trying to be noble, I guess, in their minds in that way. It's another thing to have all those people sitting on your doorstep. And we've seen that happen in some of those sanctuary jurisdictions. It says, this is from Fox, there were more than 200,000 migrant encounters in August alone. 200,000. So there's quite a few people streaming across the border. What do you do with them? They can't keep track of them. There's all kinds of problems, and again, it's something that it had been improving somewhat under the Trump administration, but now it's just being wide open. Those borders are not being really, there's not much enforcement there. Even former President Bill Clinton, who of course is a liberal, he knows there's a problem. He said there is a limit to how many migrants any society can take without severe disruption. So even he knows that. I mean, he's looking at this crisis and says, okay, well, you know, there's only so many you can bring in before it disrupts the normal activities of a nation. Really, ultimately, you don't have a nation anymore if it's just full of whoever wants to show up. So even former President Bill Clinton said that. He said, look, you can't bring that many in without severe disruption. But of course, that's the point, isn't it? Severe disruption. We have this book that hopefully many of you have gotten, America Under Attack. You can get a free copy by calling 1-866-930-3024, 1-866-930-3024, or you can send in your request to td@thetrumpet.com, or you know, go online at thetrumpet.com and request a copy or read it there. Download it. See, there is an attack on America that's been ongoing, and it's happening in multiple ways. There's multiple attacks that are occurring, and one of the big ones is on this border. And even though former President Clinton doesn't call it that, or he doesn't talk about it in that exact way, he makes the same point in just the fact that, look, if you don't limit how many people pour into your country, there's going to be a severe disruption. And that's exactly what is happening. He said our system is based much more on an assumption that things would be normal, right? So, you know, when they make policy, supposedly, it's based on the assumption that things will proceed as normal. There's a certain normalcy to it. You can allow so many in, it'll be a normal flow or however they think about it. But this is abnormal. There's so many that are coming, and they're coming, of course, because they know that not much is being done to turn them away. There was a report that was on Fox News where they talked about some of the problems at the border and showed some footage from that, and it's really interesting. We'll play that now. This is clip one.
For the very first time, a brand new Fox News drone equipped with thermal imaging captures images of mass illegal crossings in the middle of the night in Eagle Pass, Texas this morning. Migrants could be seen crossing the river and walking onto private property, where over 100 gathered and waited for Border Patrol processing. DHS says more large groups are encountered in Eagle Pass than anywhere else along the border. Border Patrol's Del Rio sector, which includes Eagle Pass, has now seen over 450,000 illegal crossings so far this year. That is double the same time last year. And in Kinney County, Texas DPS troopers pulled over this van and were shocked when they found 16 illegal immigrants being smuggled in the back. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton says President Biden's refusal to change course is telling.
The numbers under the Biden administration have tripled, and they've done it on purpose. They're not trying to protect the border.
In Nogales, Arizona, CBP agents seized 276,000 fentanyl pills hidden in a smuggler's spare tire as the car came through the port of entry there. And Border Patrol agents in the Tucson, Arizona sector found 5 pounds of fentanyl strapped to the body of a 15-year-old boy at a Border Patrol checkpoint.
Some really interesting points made in that report. I mean, the footage is pretty alarming, all these people coming across the border. And of course, that's just a few of the people. They can't show everybody. But they're coming across at night. They're bringing in fentanyl, which is a very deadly drug. And a great point being made there that, look, they're not trying to close the border. You know, they're not trying to do anything. They talk about immigration reform. They always say that. What does that mean? Well, in their minds, it means just open up the borders and let anybody in. They're not trying to control it at all. It is mass disruption, as even former President Clinton said. And one of the big issues, I mean, there's a lot of issues with this, but one of them is the drugs coming in. They talked about it there, fentanyl. This is a report from The Federalist, September 20th. And the title of the article is Corporate Media Panic Over Fentanyl Overdoses, But Won't Talk About the Border Crisis Causing Them. So everyone knows fentanyl is a big problem. I mean, no one's going to dispute that, I don't think. But they're not talking about why it's happening, where you know, what's the cause of this. And it's the crisis at the border. These drugs are just flowing across the border. And they showed it in that report, right? You know, you got this 15-year-old kid with all this fentanyl on him. And it's coming in through in vehicles and on people. And then it's making its way into the streets of the U.S. It says the Department of Justice announced on Wednesday that the Drug Enforcement Administration seized more than 10.2 million fentanyl pills and approximately 980 pounds of fentanyl powder during the period of May 23rd through September 8th, 2022. 10.2 million fentanyl pills and 980 pounds of fentanyl powder. What does that mean? I mean, that's a lot. But what does it mean in real human terms? That's enough to kill 36 million Americans. 36 million Americans would be killed from consuming that. That's how much has come through, and that was just the period of May 23rd through September 8th, so just a few months. It's pouring across the border. It's no secret, this write-up says, that drug cartels are the primary means by which the illicit and fatal pills are making their way into Americans' hands. Even the DEA admits that the rise in fentanyl deaths in the U.S. is directly linked to cartel activity at the nation's southern border. So that's the cause. It's pouring through the border in terms of where it's coming from. Now, there's a bigger cause in the sense of people being involved in drugs, but where is it coming from? What's the supply chain? Well, it's the southern border. And it's really interesting to think about that. We're in a time when we have hyperinflation for a variety of reasons. One of the reasons being that the supply chain doesn't work, right? We can't get the goods we need in Target and Walmart. They don't have any problem getting fentanyl across the border. That supply chain seems to be working pretty well. There's what's the saying? Where there's a will, there's a way. I mean, if people want to get something somewhere, they'll get it there. They'll figure it out. And when it comes to illegal drugs, deadly drugs, enough drugs to kill 36 million Americans, that supply chain's up and running. There's no problem with it. And it's actually running more efficiently, I guess, than it has in the past because that border is so wide open. The write-up from the Federalist says, in August alone, U.S. Customs and Border Protection seized more than 2,200 pounds of fentanyl. 2,200 pounds of fentanyl. That's the highest recorded fentanyl seizure total per month since they began tracking the data in 2019. So again, that supply chain is just getting bigger and bigger. That pipeline is getting bigger. More is coming through. 2,200 pounds of fentanyl. That's how much was seized. But of course, how much wasn't seized? That's the question. A lot more than that, I'm sure. They're not catching much, probably. I don't know the numbers, but there's a lot more coming through than what they're seizing. And they're seizing a lot. It says more than 90% of those seizures were at the legal border crossings and interior vehicle checkpoints. So people trying to bring it across, seemingly coming across normally and trying to smuggle it. So that's a big part of that. But there's a lot more coming through those borders that they don't know. When people are coming through illegally, when they're streaming through, they have no idea what they're carrying. They don't know. They don't find them. They don't know where they are. And they don't know what they're carrying. And like that report showed, when they find them, in most cases, they're carrying fentanyl. They're carrying drugs. So they have some numbers that we can look at here, and they're pretty big. But the scary thing is it's the tip of the iceberg. They don't know how much is coming across because they don't know who all these people are that are streaming through illegally. Bringing in fentanyl, enough to kill 36 million Americans. That's just what was seized. How much came through that wasn't seized? We were talking before the show today, actually, about this, and of course, it's being smuggled in some cases where it looks like candy. And so there's warnings out there about kids getting what they think is candy from somebody, and it's actually a fentanyl pill. It would kill them. It would kill them. That's the dangerous society that we're in today because of this drug problem. But it all goes back to that open border. That's a main part of it in terms of the supply chain. This write-up from the Federalist says, thanks to Biden's dismantling of the Trump administration's border security measures. That's it, right? They've gotten rid of the Trump administration's border security measures. Why would they do that? Because as even Bill Clinton said, there is a severe disruption. There's a disruption. Why is there a disruption? Well, because America is under attack. That's just one of the ways in which America is being attacked. There's a lot of different angles that Satan's attacking America today. But that drug crisis, the problem at the border, it's a major issue. And it's intentional. They're letting that border be wide open. Because, as it says, Biden has dismantled the Trump administration's border security measures. And it says the White House has a continued reluctance to admit its role in the border crisis. What can they do about it? Nothing we can do about it, they say. Sure, they can do. They can do a lot about it. You think about even when we were at the height of COVID restrictions in this country, they could lock borders down pretty tightly, right? You know, people couldn't really go between the U.S. and Canada, you know, places like that because of COVID. They'd really watch you. They'd really put some measures in place. But when it comes to something like people coming across with fentanyl, coming across to be involved in gang activity and other problems, somehow they just can't do anything about it. Do you believe that? Do you really believe they couldn't close the border down or make it much tougher to come across? Of course they can, but they don't want to. They don't want to. It says the White House has continued reluctance to admit its role in the border crisis. Cartels are being emboldened to not only continue their drug operations, but expand their black market influence further. And that's exactly what the numbers show. That's why there's more being seized than ever before. because more is coming across. They're not better at seizing it. They haven't improved in their seizing techniques. There's just more coming. So they're able to catch more, but there's so much more that they're not catching. Fentanyl streaming across the southern border. And again, the Biden administration, the Obama administration, we should call it, they don't want to stop that. They want that wide open. Here's another write-up. This one is from the New York Post. It says, Biden tries to explain border surge by claiming migrants are fleeing communism. So that's the new excuse. That might change over time, but that's what's being said here lately. Oh, they're just coming across the border. They're trying to get away from communism. The article says Biden spoke after U.S. Customs and Border Protection said about 158,000 migrants were caught in August. Those are just the ones that were caught. 158,000, bringing the 11-month tally to 2.15 million, as we talked about earlier. In fiscal 2022, 2.15 million. Those are the ones that have been caught. What? How many haven't been caught? The numbers are astronomical, if you think about that. But the report comes out, so they've got to deal with it in some way. They've got to say, why are there more people coming across? They can't say, yeah, well, it's intentional. We want them to come across. So they have to make up something. And they say, they're fleeing communism. They're just trying to get away from communism. The article says Biden invoked communism despite the fact that just 35% of migrants in August left the authoritarian socialist governments of either Cuba, Nicaragua, or Venezuela. So the numbers don't add up. The White House press secretary, she attributed the migrant influx to communism as well. So they all have the same notes. They've got the same marching orders. These are being sent up down in the basement, apparently, for everyone to read. Let's just say they're fleeing communism. And so that's what she said as well. Yeah, they're just trying to get away from communism. They need to check their compass, because if they're fleeing communism, they're just running into a country that's becoming more and more communist all the time. Matter of fact, you hear that from people that grew up in a communist system, and then they were able to get to the United States, and they say, you realize you're becoming communist, right? You realize what's happening here. They know because they grew up in it, they have experience in it, and they say, you're becoming the same thing. They recognize it. So again, if they were really trying to flee communism, they're going the wrong direction, because we're becoming, sadly, more that direction all the time in terms of policies in this nation. But Val Verde County Commissioner Robert Bo Nettleton said that many migrants are simply abusing the asylum system to get into the U.S. So there is a system in place, but they're abusing it. In some cases, again, it's for very specific illegal intent. In other cases, maybe they're just trying to get to the U.S. because they think it's better. Still, they're doing it illegally. They're abusing the system, and the message has been sent out, you can do that. You can get away with it, right? Anytime the law is done away with, or you know there's no penalty, people are more apt to do something illegal. You see that all the time. You see it in flash mobs in grocery stores or places like that, where if people start stealing stuff and no one does anything about it, then, well, everybody starts doing it. They're coming across the border and they know, well, there's not really much of a system there to deal with us. They're going to let us go. So more and more people are coming. This is a Val Verde County Commission. Commissioner said the process of asylum doesn't mean that you send 20,000 people across the river at one time and say, I want asylum. That's not the process. So there is an actual process to seeking asylum, but you don't just dump all these people in there and say, hey, we all want asylum. That's not the process. That's not the way the system is set up. He said that the process is that you walk across at a port of entry and request asylum, or you do it at an embassy in your country. You follow the process. And some people do, and good for them. You know, if they want to come to the U.S., do it legally, then there's great opportunity there. But that's not what's happening with most of these people. The borders are just being overrun, as we saw in that Fox News report. He said, we have to get our immigration system under control. We have to close the border. We have to close the border. That was a write-up from the New York Post. they know they have to get it under control. Even former President Bill Clinton said that, like, this is disrupting everything. This is a problem. This has to get under control. They have to close the border down, but the White House doesn't want to do that. They don't want to do that. And people really are trying to, again, just get what they want in terms of those coming across, you know, trying to take it. They want to get something, whether it's just a better life or it's very specific illegal intent and activity. They're trying to get, you know, people aren't coming across thinking about how could I legally become a citizen and then help this country be better. Now, there might be some that but they would go through it the right way, the legal way. How many people come and really want to make the country better? Some do, but most don't. They're just here to take or to try to take. And again, it does make me sad for those that are trying to do it the right way. You know, good for them. And there's good opportunities there. But for those that are just coming to take and they want to do it the wrong way, well, that needs to be stopped. And yet those borders are wide open right now. It is an attack. It is an attack. America under attack. 1-866-930-3024. 1-866-930-3024. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about citizenship. I think it ties in well with the border issue. Citizenship. What does it mean to be a citizen of a country? America used to teach its youth some pretty important lessons about that. We'll look at some of that history about citizenship, and we'll talk about it right after this break. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily program. I'm Dwight Falk, filling in for Stephen Fleury today. Thanks for joining us here on the Trumpet Daily program. That's a great advertisement for America Under Attack. That book is so vitally important. I mean, it's talk about a book that's relevant and important and necessary right now. America Under Attack is definitely that. And there's a lot of attacks against this country. You can get that by calling 1-866-930-3024, 1-866-930-3024, and request that book. And we do offer it a lot, but boy, you know, there's no better book right now to explain what's happening in this country. And it's infuriating in a lot of ways, but then also it's very comforting to know the why. Why are these things happening? Because, you know, they don't make sense in a lot of ways. Why would you destroy your own country? Well, you've got to read America Under Attack to see that there is a definite attack against America. It has a spiritual foundation in terms of Satan the devil being attacking and trying to destroy America, and he hates America and America's history with God as Israel. And again, United States and Britain in Prophecy talks about that as well. So there's a lot to study into there, but without that understanding, you know, you look at all these events and you think, why would people do this? But it's, again, there's an attack there. And it's a spirit attack, first of all, a spiritual attack. Well, citizenship in this country is something that people do debate a fair bit. Can we just let everybody come across and everyone just become citizens? And what does it mean to be a citizen of a country? What does that even mean? It's pretty murky probably today in people's minds. What does it mean to be a citizen? Do you just get a piece of paper says you're a citizen, or what is there to it? It's interesting. America used to really teach its young people about citizenship. People that grew up in this country in the 1950s, and that's not to say the 1950s were, you know, perfect by any stretch. There were problems there, but there was still more of an instruction about upholding the rule of law, about trying to build up your country, trying to do your part to help your country instead of just coming and taking or hurting or doing something illegal. There was a big emphasis placed on, okay, what does it mean to be a citizen? This was taught to America's young people. It was also taught to people coming into America trying to become citizens from other countries. And I ran across a book. It's from 1957. The title is Building Citizenship. It was at a bookstore, and they were having a going-out-of-business sale. And, you know, they practically give books away when they do those things pretty cheaply. And I saw this old textbook, and I thought, that's interesting. Building Citizenship was from 1957. And it was the textbook for that class, teaching young people and those, again, coming into the country, how to be good citizens of the United States, how to be a good citizen. There's a way to do that and a way to help your country. And, of course, God's people think about this spiritually, about the kingdom of God and being a good citizen of that kingdom as well, and first and foremost. But the principles apply to physical countries, too. They certainly do. You can look at a scripture in Philippians 3 and verse 20. I'll just read that to you. There's a scripture here that says our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, many translations have citizenship there instead of conversation. Our citizenship, talking to God's people, our citizenship is in heaven. There's a citizenship. And, of course, everybody's a citizen of a country as well, physically speaking. And the thing that was so great about that textbook from 1957 is I think they built a lot of it on biblical principles to a certain extent, which is what makes it valuable. But that textbook makes the point that whether we're talking about, say, a physical country, we're talking about God's kingdom, the point that they make that I think applies to both very well is that rights come with corresponding duties. Rights come with corresponding duties. So if you want to have a right, you need to fulfill your responsibility to have that right. You can't just come in and take whatever you want. You have to, again, be a proper citizen, which means do your part to upbuild the community. And then there are certain rights that come with that. There are certain rights that come with that. And in Philippians 3:20 there, it talks about, again, God's people being citizens of heaven. And so the same principle applies there. We have certain rights that God gives us, but we have certain responsibilities that we have to fulfill. What does it mean to be a good citizen? What did this textbook talk about? What are some of the points? I want to share a few of them with you. And again, I think they're valuable because they are biblically based. Not that they necessarily quoted scripture, but you can see where they got the concept from. And the first point that they make is that if you're going to be a good citizen, you have to know what's going on in the world. You have to know what's going on in the world. You have to know how you relate to the rest of the world. How does your country relate to the rest of the world? What's happening? Who are we? What are we doing? What's our purpose? And so it's easy, especially today, for people to not pay a lot of attention to what's happening. I mean, sure, there's updates. There's a lot of news that's out there. But so much of it is biased. So much of it is showing one side or not showing the full story, and people don't know what's going on in the world. But to be a good citizen, you really have to know what's happening. How many people don't even know what's happening in our own country? I mean, they can maybe parrot back what CNN said or some mainstream source like that, but is that even accurate? This book said, look, if you're going to be a good citizen, you have to really know what's going on in the world. You've got to really dig in and understand what's happening. What's happening? Christ made the point in Matthew 26 and verse 41, where he said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Pay attention to what's going on. You have to pay attention. Pay attention to the events that are happening in this world. And then, of course, how do they tie into the Bible? How do they tie into God's Word? That's what America Under Attack does, is it looks at the events of the world and it puts them into context with Bible prophecy. So you have to watch. You have to know what's going on. Even in just teaching young people back in 1957 or people trying to come into this country to gain citizenship, they said, you need to know what's happening in the world. If you're going to be a good citizen, you've got to be aware of what's going on around you. You have to really make sure that you're attuned and you're paying attention. That's why you watch this program, because of the news and the analysis and the Bible prophecy to give you an idea of what's happening in the world. It's a very important point. To be a good citizen, you have to know what's going on in the world. How many people come into the U.S. that don't even speak the language, let alone know what's going on? They don't even speak the language, and they're not trying to in some cases. Now, some people do come in and they learn, and that's awesome. But again, there's a lot coming through that don't have the best interest of America in mind. They're out for themselves. But we do need to know what's going on in the world. Another point that this textbook made, again, it's from 1957 on building citizenship. They said, if you're going to be a good citizen, you have to develop wisdom. What an awesome point. They were making this point to young people in a high school that were learning about how to be citizens of their country. And they said, become wise. Develop wisdom. This textbook said, we should learn to recognize what is good and what is not good, and then conduct ourselves according to the good. That's an amazing thing to teach young people and for all of us to learn. If we're going to be good citizens, we need to be wise. That helps our country. That helps the government that we're part of. Having wisdom, developing that. Job 28 and verse 28 says, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the eternal, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Knowing God's word, respecting it, having a fear to disobey it, keeping it, that's wisdom. That's wisdom. And then departing from evil, that's understanding. That's very similar to the point that textbook made. Look, you got to have wisdom. You've got to know what's right and wrong. You've got to know that and then do the right thing. Very important part of being a citizen. And so if people come into a country illegally, well, they're already off on the wrong foot. They're not, that's not a wise thing to do. They're not bringing a wise mind and a life built on wisdom into another place to help that place grow and expand. They're just there to take and get. And that's obviously not citizenship. That's not what being a citizen is all about. When we keep God's commandments, that shows love towards God and toward our fellow man. And that's something that we have to do if we're going to be good citizens. Develop wisdom. The textbook said, we are not all alike. This is getting into the third point here, but I'll give you the quote first. It says, we are not all alike, nor are our ideas and interests just the same. But if each of us would practice the golden rule, there would be much more happiness and peace in the world. And they said, if you're going to be a good citizen, that third point that they make is that you have to learn how to get along with other people. That's a great point. I mean, to be a citizen means there's other people there, right? There's other people you have to deal with. And they said that you have to learn how to get along with other people. Yeah, there are different likes and dislikes and perspectives and so forth. But they say, practice the golden rule. What's the golden rule? Luke 6 and verse 31, Christ said, and as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. You know, how many people really practice that? People that are illegally streaming across the border, is that what they want people to do to them? If they had a country that they wanted to stay in and they had a life they were trying to build there, would they want people to just pour in and take over or take from them or bring in illegal drugs? Of course not. Of course they wouldn't want that to happen to them. They're not practicing that. They're not trying to be good citizens. They're not trying to be citizens at all. Just coming to take and to harm and to get for the self. But here, again, even in 1957, we used to teach, that we should treat each other like we want to be treated. If we're going to be citizens, if we're going to be together in a community, in a country, in a government, in a kingdom, treat each other the way you want to be treated. And see, again, you can see how even this secular textbook was using some biblical principles there. The golden rule, that's a biblical principle. That's a biblical principle. Romans 8:12 says, if it be possible, if it's possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Try to work with people, try to get along, try to help each other. But again, treat others as we want to be treated. That's an awesome lesson and an awesome point of good citizenship. You know, whether it's in a community, whether it's in a, you know, like a neighborhood, or, you know, expanding out from there, treat people like you want to be treated. And that helps things run much more smoothly. Much more smoothly. A fourth point that was made in this textbook is, if you want to be a good citizen, develop proper relationships with the government. Develop proper relationships with government. Now, that can be tough when, especially as we see today, the government's having some issues in this country. But this is talking about how government should operate, ideally. Christ talked about that in Matthew 20, verses 25 through 28. But Jesus, it says, called them unto him, and he said, so he's teaching his disciples here, he said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. He said, but it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, or let him be your servant, or let him lead you in a way that actually benefits you, has your best interest in mind. Is our government doing that today? Is the United States being governed with the best interest of its citizens in mind? See, citizenship's a two-way street. People have to be good citizens, but the government has to rule correctly as well. Do they have the best interest of people in mind? Are they trying to serve and help people? They say they are, but they're leaving the border wide open. Who is that helping? It doesn't help the people coming across. It doesn't help us here. It doesn't help anybody. And so there's some problems with the government in this land. They're not following this admonition. They're not living according to the golden rule, treating the citizens as they want to be treated. We've seen that play out with the illegal immigrants being shipped up to Martha's Vineyard and other places. Well, when it's on their doorstep, they're furious about it. We don't want them here. Well, if you don't want them on your doorstep, don't you think the people in the southern border towns don't want them on their doorstep either? And for the people coming across, would they want people doing that same thing to them? Of course they wouldn't. Of course they wouldn't. But there should be a proper relationship with government. Government should rule correctly, and the people should respond to that. But again, you can see how out of balance it is because America is under attack. That's why that book is so important today. But when things are made as they should be, you will have these proper points put into practice. There will be the proper government, and there'll be a proper relationship with government. God's government is here to serve and to give and to help. And so that's something that, you know, we should be developing a close relationship with God and His government, even as we see the governments of this world very much abusing authority and abusing power. Another point that's given in this book on citizenship is that if people are going to be good citizens and they're really going to help their country, they should develop their talents. Develop their talents. That's a really awesome point to consider. You know, if you have a country, don't you want it to be full of people that are developing their abilities? I mean, that helps the country do better. It helps everybody do better. Ideally, that's what a good citizen does. And there are people, and there are some really awesome examples of people that do come to another country, say the United States or something. They do so legally, lawfully, and they really develop a skill, and then they have a nice career, and they're part of the community. There's a lot of good examples like that. It's so easy for people to look at this as sort of a very one side or the other argument, like either you don't want anybody in your country or let everybody in. Well, neither one of those is accurate. There are rules in place to allow people to come into the United States. And if they're willing to be part of the country, if they're willing to do it legally, then that's great. And of course, there's certainly a limited number. Not everybody could come, or else everyone would live in one little spot on the earth. There has to be, of course, enough space for everybody. But there are ways for people to come in legally. And if they do that, and there are plenty of examples of it, and they develop a talent and a skill and an ability, well, that's awesome. That helps the country. That's being a good citizen. Developing a real skill. The textbook says, the person who finds out what kind of work he likes to do and what kind he does best and fits himself to take his place in the world of work will live a richer, happier, more contented, and satisfactory life. And that, in turn, will have an effect on the community in which he lives. We all have an effect on the community in which we live. The better we do, the better the community does. It's a symbiotic relationship in that way. And so that's a great point. Develop our talents, develop our abilities. That's what a good citizen does, because he's trying to, yeah, like it says, I mean, he's trying to make his life better, of course, that's a good thing, but he's trying to make the country better. If everyone is doing their best, if everyone is developing their talents, then you've got a really vibrant community. Then you've got a really awesome society, because everybody's mutually excelling each other and helping each other and trying to do their best. The more a person develops those skills, those talents, the better the community will be. And that's just an awesome point from this book on citizenship. How many of the people streaming across the border illegally are really thinking about developing their talents and their abilities? Well, they're on the run. It's illegal what they're doing. They're hiding. They have to, I guess, sort of hide in the shadows. And then a lot of cases, they get taken advantage of, or they get caught up in things, or they're there for, you know, illegal intent in terms of crime. Well, there's no development there. There's no character development. It hurts them, and it hurts the community. It hurts everybody. That's not good citizenship. You know, they keep talking about the liberal politicians in particular. They keep talking about immigration reform. Well, how does that help anybody? Even for those that have come across and were able to stay, I mean, is it better for them? In some cases, it might be. But if they're not given a chance to really develop, they're stunting their own lives. They need a chance to really develop their skills and their talents as well. But again, everything has to be based on the law. If a person comes across and they do it legally and lawfully, then the sky's the limit. Then they can really build their talents, and they can be happy. They can be successful and help the community be successful as well. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, this is a well-known passage, but it says, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. That's a biblical principle. That's what the textbook is getting at. You know, develop your talents. That's the same thing Ecclesiastes says. Whatever your hand finds to do it with your mind. Of course, anything lawful, obviously. Do it with your mind. Develop your talents, develop your skills. It helps those people, whoever it might be, have a better life personally, and then it helps the community as well. That's true of all of us as citizens, whether it's of a physical nation or of the kingdom of God. The more we develop our talents and our abilities, and everybody has some, the more the community thrives and improves and grows. You can think of Christ's example. I mean, he developed skill. I mean, obviously, his ultimate goal was not to be a carpenter, but he did develop carpentry skills. He did that as a job, and obviously, he would have done it well. He would have been a very good worker. He followed God's laws, his principles, worked hard, and supported his family for a time. There's a lot that he did there. He developed those skills, and he was a good citizen. You know, would you want Jesus Christ living next to you? Yes, absolutely you would, because he follows all of God's laws. He practices the golden rule. You know, he would be productive. He would be helpful. He would be helping the community and upbuilding the community. And so, again, they make that point. Develop your talents. That's what a good citizen does. See, there's responsibility that we have. Yes, we want the rights that come with being a citizen, but we have responsibilities on our end. And we owe it to God, certainly, but even to our community to develop our talents so we can help them, so we can add to the community. And it can be the best community that it can be. And everyone, of course, has different talents, but we need to develop those. People aren't thinking about that when they're streaming across the border illegally. They're not thinking about, I'm going to really develop my talents. They're just on the run. And they're trying to get away with something that's illegal and then trying to get what they can. It's the completely opposite of trying to develop themselves and develop the community into which they hope to enter. The textbook says, for everyone, so this is really interesting. It's talking again to young people here primarily, and of course, others might use this textbook too if they're trying to become citizens. But it's talking to young people in particular in this high school course about what the community has given them, just to give them some concept of the fact that a lot has been done for them, and now they need to return that, may have a return on investment. And so again, this was 1957, so we'll adjust the numbers here as we go. But it says, for every one of us who has completed a 12-year course in the public schools, our community and state have spent on the average at least $3,000. So that was 1957. So that amount today, adjusted for inflation, although inflation's skyrocketing, so it could be different as we move forward. But roughly that amount would be $31,000. $31,000. So to put that back into the quote there, it says, for every one of us who has completed a 12-year course in the public schools, our community and state have spent on the average at least $31,000 on us. It says, if your parents send you to private school, it may cost a lot more than that. And then they ask this question, really vital question. Is that money wasted? Is that money wasted if you went to a public school? I did. Was that money wasted? We'd like to think that it wasn't. And we probably all might have a few ups and downs in that regard, but we want to be productive citizens. We don't want that money to be wasted on us, or what the community invested in us to be wasted. They say, will your community have reason to regret spending so much on you? And those are some great questions to ask young people back in 1957. The community has spent a lot on you. Did they waste it, or will you be a productive citizen? It's a great question. It says, if you do not take advantage of these opportunities now, the chances are that when you grow up and are called upon for bigger and better service, you will not be ready. That's a dynamite quote given to high school kids back in the 1950s. Do they talk about that today in school? There's no way they would talk about that. There's no way they would. You can see how things have changed. But they're making the point that, okay, if you want to be part of a community and a country, and you want to be a citizen and you want the rights that come with citizenship, you need to make sure you're contributing to this society and to this community and to this nation, to this kingdom, if we're talking about the kingdom of God. When we could think about that with God, how much has he invested in us? Well, everything, right? The sacrifice of his son. Is it wasted on us? So that's a really poignant question to think about. And we can take this topic and thinking about this, and we can look at the physical with this nation, and we can look at the illegal crossing of the border and all of those problems, and seeing how off balance or how off kilter that is from what we used to teach and believe and think about supporting a nation, being part of a nation. But then we can think about it spiritually too. We can think about it spiritually in terms of the kingdom of God and what our responsibilities are to that kingdom. There's a few extra points here that I don't have time to get into, but they're really great to think about in terms of being a good citizen to a country, to a community, to the kingdom of God. They say a good citizen is courageous. Courageous. To do the right thing, to stand up for what's right. They're courageous. It says a good citizen will never harm their country. Never harm their country. They don't do anything to harm their country. How about people that are just illegally entering? Are they harming the country? Of course they are. It's not even their country in that sense. But they're harming it, and they're harming their home country. What about where they came from? How come they didn't stay there and be good citizens? Well, because they're not interested in that, I don't think. I think they're interested in just maybe what they could get or what they perceive that they could get. But it says a good citizen will never harm their country. We can think about that spiritually too with the kingdom of God. It says a good citizen is honest. Honest, in other words, you're not going to illegally do anything. You're not going to come across the border illegally. You're not going to live a lie. You're not just going to come and take. You're going to be honest if you're a good citizen. A good citizen is honest. And one final point that they make, and there's a whole section of different points and things. I thought these were some of the best. But it says a good citizen is intelligent. And again, it's talking about just developing yourself, you know, being intelligent. It kind of gets back to, you know, developing your talents like you talked about, or having wisdom, and just becoming educated, developing yourself so you have something to give to your community. You have to know what's going on in the world, all of those points that were brought out. That's what good citizens do. They help raise the standard in their community, in their country, in their kingdom. That's what good citizens do. These are, again, you can see these are all biblical principles. These were being taught back in 1957, at least to some people in this country. And again, not that it was perfect back then, but at least it was a little more closely related to what the Bible teaches. And today, this isn't talked about very much. Today, it's all about, you know, a different agenda. It's about America being attacked, America being destroyed. Instead of trying to build up the country in a positive way by applying these biblical principles, it's about trying to destroy, trying to harm, trying to take down. And the border crisis is just one of those areas of attack. And sometimes we can forget about citizenship and what it means to be a good citizen and how to conduct yourself as a good citizen. Because we see people, well, they just do whatever they want, and it doesn't seem like there's any penalty. Well, there is, even if it doesn't show up immediately, there is. But godly people are good citizens. They're good citizens. But that's being attacked today. You really need this book. I know we talk about it a lot, but it's very poignant for right now and needed. America Under Attack. America Under Attack. You can get that for free. That can be sent to you. And 1-866-930-3024, that's the phone number you can call, 1-866-930-3024. And you can get that book. You can also get it at thetrumpet.com. You can order it there, or you can read it. It's online. And you can download it if you want to. But boy, that's something that we really do need to be studying, to be looking at what's going on in this world, thinking about it in the context of the world events that are happening. Just like that citizenship book brought out, it's important to know what's going on in the world. And there's no way we're going to know what's going on if we're not really paying attention to America Under Attack and the prophecies in the Bible that that talk about some of these events. We used to really teach citizenship in this country, and there's a lot to think about there. Whatever country you live in, be a good citizen to your country, to your community, ultimately to the kingdom of God. But if somebody's a good citizen in their country, they'll also be a good citizen in the kingdom of God as well, if they're really doing those things, if they're following those biblical principles, because they're spiritual principles. And so it's wonderful to have a country and a community and ultimately a kingdom to be a part of. That's all the time we have for today on the Trumpet Daily Program. Thanks for spending some of your time with me today. If you have any feedback, you can send that to td@thetrumpet.com. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you later.